I mean, my constant experience in London, I suppose it's everywhere, really, is how is this person lost? And how can I help them to be less lost or to be more aware that they're lost? Now, that sounds quite compassionate and benign, put that way, or it might also sound something else, and it is something else, which is, I mean, I experience it as something else, which is just relentlessly looking for the ways in which a person is getting it wrong. And as a point of comparison, not exactly with me, but of course it really is with me, because I'm the only point of comparison I really have, but me in relation to Dave. As in, that's my point of reference. What's yours? That's my orientation, as Michelle once said about John Deruta. Although I wouldn't say about Dave. I wouldn't conflate them, those two things directly. But what Dave has helped me to recognize is my orientation. So it is very difficult to separate them. And so central to that is the rarity of what Dave embodies, the the subtlety of that orientation, like how easy it is to get it wrong and not know it. Because there are so many versions in proximity, I suppose, to the real. And I suppose I'm aware of how everybody, so many people, but in a way it's everybody, but the kind of people I'm likely to meet, and it's probably symptomatic of a desperation, really, a seeking, are emphasizing the ways that they're getting it right, or their belief in that they have found their orientation, though they wouldn't say that. It's an interesting thing, I haven't really thought about it yet, but it's so general that it's almost invisible or meaningless to talk about. But I suppose that it would become more and more meaningful and visible if one were to truly find one's orientation. Because I think then one would see the ways that others had not. Not because they were doing things differently from oneself exactly, but in a way it would be that. But obviously it wouldn't mean that they hadn't found the same person, or it would simply be, and it's but I suppose it's to do with how they cling to some kind of orientation. I think the paradox of Dave, and this is liminalism, isn't it, is that his being oriented is observable in his lack of a need for any orientation. That's it, in a nutshell. He is absolutely on track, it seems, because, and that the evidence of that is that he's not clinging to anything or asserting anything as evidence of who he is or where he's going. He's just on his way there. He's already there. But being there is also being on one's way somewhere. Quite in the flow there. So that's the thing that people don't have, and it's a delicious irony, because for me, and I don't, of course, but for me to try and reorient them by sharing my orientation would then, of course, invalidate. It would neutralize my very intent by doing something that can't be done, by trying to tell something that can only be shown. Fascinating. That's so Tao, the Tao that cannot be spoken, and yet one can speak about the Tao while being in the Tao, even though the speaking isn't the Tao. I mean, when the two come together, then there's something remarkable happens. But even with Dave, that's rare. I just watched a video of Dave, and it's funny, really, because with Dave, it's really just watching his body, and which is him, I mean, his life force. And observing, if possible, the enjoyment of being. And that has a quality of checking for inauthenticity for me still. Like, how authentic was that move? How authentic? And waiting for the frisson of pure authenticity, what appears to be, rather than diluted or slightly filtered, or just not coming through. It's just like tuning in, and then getting a throb of the signal. And presumably that has less to do with what Dave's doing than what's happening for me. And Dave is there as a resonator for me to tune my instrument better. It's a tuning fork that needs tuning. It's a weird thing, because it's there to attune things, but the act, in order to be able to function as that, it has to calibrate itself by listening and to things that are out of tune and in tune and what have you, right? So, discernment, Venus again. So, having someone to attune to who is mostly in tune the whole time makes it much easier to attune that instrument, because was more consistent point of comparison. Like if one doesn't know if one's tuning fork is out of tune or the thing that one is trying to attune to is out of tune, that can be impossible. One can't recalibrate either. So if one is with somebody who isn't really themselves, and one isn't able to be themselves, and that's a feedback loop, then that the noise just increases, and there's no, a certain point one just has to disengage. I think it's going on with Ash, you know, as well, with the talking and the babbling, that she needs to find experiences to retune herself to, with, against all of those things. And that's what we all need. We're all brain damaged. We need to let it happen, and the socialization, that's another weirdly paradoxical thing, is prevents it from happening. But what we need to happen is to get free of the socialization. I mean, if there wasn't socialization, we wouldn't need to get in tune. We would always be attuned. But then we'd be animals, so I suppose there is a, we have to retain some degree of socialization. So there's this transitional liminal period, which I guess is thousands of years for humanity, but it's a lifetime for humans if they're lucky. You know, if the day, then they're really lucky. It's only half a lifetime, but most humans would be damn lucky even to accomplish in a lifetime becoming fully attuned to the life force and to nature while remaining socialized beings. So whatever that was, that was an audio for Michelle and me, which veered into some interesting ruminations that well make me wonder about doing a presentation again. But anyway, it doesn't actually matter how I continue to tune the instrument, as long as I do. And one thing about being in London, the difficulty of it is inseparable from the opportunity of it in terms of this, like every encounter is particularly rich, I suppose because I'm English, so this is my social group, for tuning the instrument and observing the ways in which it's out of tune. And it's confusing because the instrument is a tuning fork for tuning instruments too. So it's both an instrument and, well, I mean, you can tune instruments using other instruments, but not if they're out of tune. So we've got a whole planet that's full of human beings that are instruments that are out of tune, and there are no tuning forks. per se. Well, I suppose there are. You could say trees and nature and all these things are tuning forks. You could look at it that way, I suppose. But as far as other human beings, they're not tuning forks. They're other instruments. So your best chance is to find another human being who's like an instrument that's completely in tune. Because then you can just match. But in the absence of that, you've just got to trial and error, and it's very intuitive, and because one has a sense of being in and out of tune that's impaired because one's whole life has been out of tune, but there's still an instinctive sense, and of course with another person one becomes more aware, not just of their tuniness, obviously, but of one's own. So it's finding the right mirrors within which to see oneself, but one is also seeing imperfections in the mirror while looking for one's own imperfections. Let's say one's also learning to distinguish between distortions in oneself that one can then correct or that then dissolve for being seen, and distortions in the reflecting object itself, which may then dissolve in the person, the other person, for being seen by oneself. And of course, the more they dissolve, the more clearly one can see oneself, the more clearly one can see one's own distortions, the more they dissolve, the more the other can see themselves. It's a remarkable process, and it's amazing. Consider that so poetically described is more or less what we have now, is looking more and more like hell on earth. People are having to gaze into each other's reflections and see monsters, and not be able to look, but not be able to turn away, not be able to converse. So just keep smashing each other, more and more smashed mirrors.